$10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. And the benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows the society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
There's been a lot of scrutiny of vaccines recently, specifically childhood vaccines. There's been a lot of news about, is there a connection with autism, for example? What do you make of all that? Dr. Wakefield wrote a paper about this saying that he thought there was a connection. And there was lower vaccination rates as a result for a period of time in Britain than the United States. What are your thoughts?
Well, Dr. Wakefield has been shown used absolutely fraudulent data. He had a financial interest in some lawsuits. He created a fake paper. The journal allowed it to run. All the other studies were done, showed no connection whatsoever again and again and again. And so it's an absolute lie that has killed thousands of kids, because the mothers who heard that lie, many of them didn't have their kids take either pertussis or measles vaccine, and their children are dead today. And so, you know, the people who go and engage in those anti-vaccine efforts, you know, they kill children. It's a very sad thing, because these vaccines are important.
Developing the vaccines, the scientific research that goes into that, obviously one thing, and then distributing things even after they've been created. Someone said to me once that even if the cure for HIV/AIDS came in the form of a clean glass of water, we still wouldn't get rid of AIDS in the world because of actually distributing some of these things. How do you address a challenge like that, no matter the money?
Well, there are fantastic ways of getting vaccines out. That's a system that's been built up over the years. In the case of smallpox, they just used a vaccine and they eradicated the disease all the way back in 1979. We cover about 75% of the world's children with the vaccines. All you're doing is gathering women for the villages, getting them the vaccine and asking them to go around and find the children. And then you pay other people who are independent to come in, look at the children, survey, see what the coverage rate is. You also have clear indicators. Measles will always show you if somebody's not doing a good job on vaccination, kids will start dying of measles. And so we know when we spend money that the group we've asked to go do that vaccination, they've delivered.
You've talked about smallpox sort of being a little bit of a model in terms of proof of principle that it can be done. D.A. Henderson, Donald Henderson, who was with the World Health Organization at the time this was done, has said, look, when you talk about polio, is this more of a movement rather than a public health initiative using objective evidence? And I think what he was saying is that should this be more about annual immunizations rather than sort of trying to find this moment in time?
Well, when you talk to mothers whose children are paralyzed, I think no matter what you label it, it should be about getting rid of this evil disease. I don't think there's any philosophy that suggests having polio is a good thing. The world has been very careful to pick very few diseases for eradication because it is very tough. After smallpox got finished, the lesson from that was the miracle of vaccines, not that we should immediately take on other diseases.
You've talked about Afghanistan and Pakistan and the polio vaccine, and you've said that doing this, the vaccination campaign, can help stabilize a war-torn region like this.
What you're seeing is that the density in the poor areas is greater than they can grow the food, greater than they can educate, greater than they can provide the jobs. So you create these hot spots of instability. So even if all you care about is national security, these health things are a very cheap way to make sure you're not going to have a turmoil that eventually would affect the whole world.
Is there a diplomatic part of this? I mean, the fact that your foundation, other organizations in partnership are doing this, is that part of it?
The general idea of the rich helping the poor, I think, is important. That your sense of justice says, why should rich kids who barely get these diseases and almost never die of them, Why should they get the vaccines where poor kids who actually do die of these diseases don't get those things? It's a, you know, unbelievable inequity that there isn't that access. And it's been 15 years usually between when rich kids get vaccines and poor kids do.
There was an article about concerns about corruption and fraud with regard to the Global Fund. Do you expect just to have a certain amount of corruption and fraud? Just say, you know what, to do the work that we do, we have to expect and accept a certain amount of that?
Well, the Global Fund does a fantastic job. They've seen typically about 3 or 4% of the money they spend not be applied properly. So yes, you're going to have some, but it's fine. This is saving lives for well less than 1% of what you would spend in the rich world. And if you think lives are created equal, this says that, well, are they at least worth 1%? You know, by and large, it's the one health intervention that can get to everyone. And fortunately, even though it's a few percent of the cost of most health things, over half of the lives saved by medicine come from vaccination. In fact, it's so simple, people often forget what a big deal this is. You know, the 2 million people who'd be dying of smallpox now, they don't, you know, think, wow, I'm alive because of a vaccination. But that's the case.